So we're at 1 Samuel chapter 18, and we're going to look at verse number 6, and from verse 6 when we read down to verse number 12. It came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, "Saul has slain his thousands, and David his ten thousands." And Saul was very wroth, and his saying displeased them. And he said, "They have ascribed unto David ten thousands, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom?" Doesn't that seem like an odd thing to say? But that's what happens when you get away from the Lord or get sideways about things. You come up with all these weird stuff in your head. And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house, and David played with his hand as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. Often it's kind of like a scepter. It's kind of showing his power, his authority. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, "I will smite David even to the wall with it." And David avoided out of his presence twice. Now, we're not really sure, does that mean that he dodged the javelin twice, or that he just moved and was doing something, so twice when he was going to throw it at him, he didn't. There's some discussion about exactly, but two different times Saul was wanting to kill him, and two different times it didn't happen. And Saul was afraid of David, because the Lord was with him, and was departed from Saul. So we talk tonight about this issue of insecurity. Now, as we consider these principles, as they relate to our homes, we have to consider some caveats. I gave some caveats in the first lesson, second lesson. Here are some more caveats, and in the next lesson there is, again, some more caveats, some things to consider as we consider these principles. So as we consider these principles, there are several things we need to consider as well. Not all principles are as applicable, but all are applicable. It depends on who you are and what your situation is and what kind of relationships you have. Some are more obvious in their application. Some are less obvious. So you may say, "Well, that doesn't really deal that much with me." Well, maybe it doesn't. But others may deal with you more. Okay, so not all are as applicable, but all are applicable in some way. Not all are applicable to everyone, but still are applicable to some. I think sometimes when we hear sermons or hear Bible studies, say, "Well, that doesn't deal with me." Well, I'm not trying to be unkind when I say this. I'm not really trying to poke at you. It may sound like that, but this statement isn't. But you know, there's more than you sitting here, and so you can't expect every sermon to all be just for you. It is, and maybe you're not realizing it. But if it isn't, realize there's other people here who may apply more to them. Now, here's a third thing to consider. Not all these principles are applicable now. But life changes, and they become more applicable later in life. Some things, as you learn, you may not go take something and put it in practice today. Some things you kind of put it in your toolbox and say, "Someday I'm going to need that." And so it's good that it's there. Now, my job in the teaching side of this is to give you principles in a clear, understandable method. That's my job. My job is to try to take the principle and try to make it as clear and understandable as possible. The Lord's job, God's job, is to make specific application in your life. To take it and say, "Here is where you need to deal with this at." Your job is to yield your mind and heart so God can speak to you. Now, for a successful sermon, successful Bible study, all three must happen. I have to do my job. I can't sit up here and just stutter and spit and hem and haw and be unclear. That's not going to help. The Lord obviously always does His job, but He has to do His job, but He always does. But then you have to do your job. You have to yield. You have to say, "Okay, Lord, what does this mean in my life?" And when we do all three of those, then there's growth and understanding and faith. Now, as we think about this particular principle, the principle of insecurity, all of us deal with insecurity at various times. There's people who say, "Well, not me. I've never been insecure my whole life." You know the people, kind of people say that? Insecure people. Okay. me and Bill have talked about that. I've talked with others, but I've talked to this about Bill. Growing up, I had an uncle who was a, he went to bars all the time, and he likes to fight. That was Harry. Harry liked to fight for whatever reason. The more he drank, the more he liked to fight. I think there's a connection. So anyways, he would go into a bar, and he would listen to all the loudmouth people. And he'd say, I don't worry about them. That guy at the end of the bar who isn't talking to anyone, that's the guy I'm going to keep my eye on, because there's a reason he's not talking. All the ones who are loudmouth, oh, I'm not insecure, not me, nothing makes me afraid, I'm... Okay, those people are just loudmouth people, okay? And usually they're loudmouth because they're insecure. And they're trying to overcome their insecurity by telling you how non-insecure they are. So all of us deal with insecurity at various times. Now there's different reasons that insecurity comes into our life or into our homes or to our relationships. It can be caused by unfamiliar situations. We're not sure how to act. Something comes in, we don't really know how to act. We get kind of goofy about it. You know, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. It can be caused by pressure to perform. And sometimes that pressure to perform, and sometimes we put it on ourselves, we become overly focused. So I'm trying to do everything just right, and it causes insecurity. Sometimes this insecurity is caused by perceived critical reactions from others, either in current or maybe in future, like I'm going to do this and I know they're going to criticize me, and it creates an insecurity. Maybe, you know, if I do this, everyone's going to reject me, or everyone's going to get mad at me, or you know, everyone's going to turn against me. And so it can create a certain insecurity in us, or maybe in a situation, a relationship that we're in. So insecurity comes at various times for various reasons. Now, we tend to view the insecurity in others as unreasonable. We say, why are you insecure? There's no reason for that. But then we look at ourselves and say, well, I have a reason to be insecure because here's my situation. We're good at that. We kind of downplay everyone else's and upplay ours. Or we see theirs as insecurity and ours not as insecurity. But the truth is, all of us are insecure at various times for various reasons. Now, regardless, now I'm transitioning, so watch me. Regardless of why we're insecure, or our view of insecurity, or the presence of insecurity in us, the fact that there's insecurity creates problems in relationships. Insecurity is problematic because people respond in a certain way when the insecurity is there that can create problems. Even if you think you do not have an insecurity, even if you sit there and say, Pastor White, I tell you, I'm pretty secure in myself. I'm pretty secure in who I am and what I think and what I do. Do you have a relationship with anyone? Because if you do, they're probably not as secure as you are. And their insecurity is still is going to bring problems into a relationship. Now watch what I say next, because this kind of gets us where we're going. Well, here's what we tend to do. Well, I don't have any insecurity, and if they have it, they just kind of need to get over it, and it's not my problem. If you're in a relationship with them, it is your problem. We can't simply just throw away everyone else's problem and tell them to fix it, because if I'm in a relationship, whether it's a husband-wife, whether it's a parent-child, whether it's a friend-to-friend, whether it's pastor-to-member, whatever relationship I have with someone, I have to understand when there's insecurity, I need to understand that it's there, and I need to deal with it in the right way, or it's going to be problematic in that relationship. So now we're going to go back to our account here, our text, in 1 Samuel 18. And I want you to notice with me three lessons that I see here in 1 Samuel 18 about dealing with insecurity. How can we, in our relationship, how can we be more secure? And the idea is dealing with insecurity. Be more secure so that that relationship is stronger. Well, start with me, if you will, in verse number 6. And it came to pass, as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets of joy and with instruments of music. Let me just stop there. Why are they singing? Victory. Who had the victory? Israel had the victory. See, did they have victory? Yes. Did everyone have victory? Yes. Did they defeat the Philistines? Yes. Should everyone be happy? Yes. Is everyone happy? No. Number one, team success should be our goal. Team success should be our goal. We have to look at whatever relationship I am and say, you know what? We're in this thing together, and I want all of us. Okay, we say this on the bus, and it's a little bit of tongue-in-cheek. We will say, you know, we'll have one side against the other side, and everyone will win. And we'll say, everyone's a winner. Okay, and that's a little tongue-in-cheek thing. But in a relationship, you want everyone to be a winner. Relationships are not competition. I'm not trying to win in my relationship. I'm trying to succeed in my relationship. And the relationship doesn't succeed unless we all succeed. Hear what I said? Your relationship doesn't succeed unless everyone in that relationship succeeds. And so team success is our goal. We want all of us to win in this relationship. You know, if I'm, I was going to look over at Bethany. She's in her new car driving around. Who knows where she's at? So anyways, for me to succeed as a father, I want to see my children succeed. Because when they're not succeeding, I don't feel like I'm succeeding. Okay? Same thing. Husband, wife, friend to friend, pastor to members, okay? Whatever that relationship is, I want everyone in that relationship to succeed. The success in battle, let me move on quickly here now. The success in battle made all Israel more secure, except for Saul. The only one who's insecure in the victory is Saul. The goal was to defeat the Philistines, not who killed the most. If you're the guy in charge, if you're the leader, my job is to give you principles and a clear, understandable method. Okay, let me try to do my job here. You don't care who kills the most. You want to win the battle. And you're thankful for everyone who's fighting on your side. That's not what Saul. Saul is concerned because, did David kill 10,000? No, that's a little bit cheerleading, okay? But in comparison, they're saying that David did 10 times as much as Saul. And that's what Saul was bothered by. What do you mean he did 10 times as much as me? So the goal was to defeat the Philistines, not who killed the most Philistines. Yet this goal that was reached, defeating the Philistines, was not Saul's goal, and thus their security, that Israel, became his insecurity. So what does this mean now, again, more into a relationship situation? Insecurity will arise in our relationships when we use a relationship, now watch this, to build our own self instead of the others in that relationship. Because now we're not looking at the team winning, we're looking at us winning. So we're using them to build ourselves. Conversely, and you'll see this in each of these points, this little conversely thing. Conversely, we become more secure in our relationships when we perceive our own self, now watch this, as a builder of those in that relationship. When I look at myself as someone who facilitates or builds the other people in my relationship, that brings me security because my job is not to use them to be better. My job is to see what I can do to help them to be better. And that now brings security in that relationship. Let me give you a couple of illustrations. Maybe it might make a little sense. Back when I was teaching in Christian school, and one I taught in three different Christian schools, and one that I taught in, it was about, I think, about 100 kids. And so they had volunteers who taught the gym class for the junior high and senior high. But every now and then, by nature of volunteers, they were not there for whatever reason. And so different teachers would step in. So every now and then I would teach the gym class for the... Now, I taught third and fourth grade, but at that period I would teach the gym class for the boys, the junior and senior high boys. Now, and when I did that, I noticed that there were two guys who were good friends who, especially in basketball, they would always want to be on the same team. And we would divide up into two teams, put so many people in this, and it's Christian school. And, you know, what there might be, let's say there's 12 people in class, or 14 people. You know, it's 6 against 6, 7 against 7. Everyone's on a team. Makes it a little unwieldy as a basketball, but it could be 10 versus 10. Whatever, we just divide them in half. But interesting, those two people, always wanted to be on the same team. And it didn't matter if they had six other people on their team. It was always them two against everyone. I always watched it, and I said, you know, I don't think they understand what it means to be a team. So I said, so they played one game, and I said, the next game, we'll do something different. You, boy number one, who's a good player, and boy number two, who are these two guys who are best friends, good players, I said, you be one captain, you be one captain. Well, they didn't really like the idea, but they didn't know what was coming next. So they chose their people. And I said, new rule. No score counts unless it touches three different team members' hands before it goes in the basket. They're like, whoa. I said, if you cannot play as a team, then you're not going to win. You must play as a team. You say that's true in a relationship. You can't just be all about you. You can't say, well, I don't know about them. I'm going to be okay. I'm going to make it. But if you're in a relationship with them, you don't want to have your own victories. You want to have group victories. You want to win together with them. Let me move on. We need to use our relationships within our homes to help those in our home to be better. We want to help our spouse to be a better spouse instead of just focusing on just me being my best, me being a good spouse. We want to help our children to be better children instead of just focusing on being a good parent. Now watch this. We want to help our parent to be a better parent instead of just focusing on being a good child. Whatever that relationship may be, we want to be not just our best who we are, but we want to help them to be their best as well. Now we still need to be our best, but our best includes being a builder of those in those relationships. Now let me just give you this side. I'm sure this doesn't apply to anyone here. But when we say helping them to be their best, we're not saying nagging, complaining, and constantly pointing out all their failures. Okay? That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about in a lovingly, encouraging way, helping them to be the best they can be. So that helps deal with insecurity. Become secure because it's not, I need to focus on them because if they don't succeed, I don't succeed, and we want to succeed together. That's how a relationship should be. Number two. Look again back to this. Look with me at verse 8. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day forward. What does that mean? He eyed David. What do you think that means? Mad? Jealous? Thinking, every time I turn around, he's going to be trying to take the kingdom from me. Let me show you. Go with me to chapter 20. Look with me at verse 27. Chapter 20, verse 27. Later in, some other events are happening, but still there's this dynamic between Saul and David that's not good. And it came to pass on the morrow, which was the second day of the month, that David's place was empty. And Saul said to Jonathan his son, wherefore cometh not the son of Jesse to meet, neither yesterday nor today? Because Saul is looking to kill him. And Jonathan answered Saul, David earnestly asked leave of me to go to Bethlehem. And he said, let me go, I pray thee, for our family hath a sacrifice in the city, and my brother, he hath commanded me to be there. And now if I have found favor in thine eyes, let me get away, I pray thee, and see my brethren, therefore he cometh not unto the king's table. Notice what happens next. Then Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan. He said unto him, thou son of the perverse, rebellious woman. Always blame the wife. Do not I know that thou hast chosen the son of Jesse to thy own confusion and unto the confusion of thy mother's nakedness? For as long as the son of Jesse liveth upon the ground, thou, Jonathan, shall not be established, nor thy kingdom. Wherefore now send and fetch him unto me, for he shall surely die. The whole idea was that David was going to have the kingdom. And this is what he is thinking. Now, let me give it to you and explain. Focus on your biblical role. I'm trying to deal with insecurity in a relationship. Number one, we're in this thing together. Don't make them feel isolated, like you could care less if they succeed or not. I'm going to do what I'm going to do, and I hope you make it because I know I'm going to make it. Okay, that's going to create a lot of insecurity in that relationship. Okay, number two, focus on your biblical role. So let me ask you a couple questions here. Ready? Question, answer, time. Who made Saul king? Hard question. God. That's easy. Whose job was it to keep Saul king? God. Did Saul make himself king? No, and he's not going to keep himself. If God wants him to be king, he's going to be king. If God doesn't want him to be king, he's not going to be king. Saul had nothing to worry about. All he had to do was be king. He didn't have to worry about David. He just had to do his job. This was what God had appointed him to do. But he's so focused on what's David going to do? And Jonathan, what are you doing? And he's so focused on what everyone else is doing, not doing his job. And it's creating all this insecurity within this relationship. Saul's focus should have been on his role as king, not losing his kingdom. So let me give you some more statements about this. Insecurity will arise in our relationships when our focus is on what others say about our role or where they recognize our role in that relationship. Now, you've heard me say this. Leaders do what? Lead. Leaders don't demand you to follow. You will follow me. Hey, that's not a leader. Leaders lead. People who are demanding followership are insecure people. Secure people do what they're supposed to do. But what if they don't follow you? Then they don't. But you do what you're supposed to do. That's how I look at being a pastor. You know, I did not choose this role. The Lord called me into it. The Lord put upon my heart to start this church. Ultimately, it's His church. Pastor White, what if everyone gets mad and leave? Everyone gets mad and leave. Not my job to hold on your ankle and as you drag me across the floor so you won't leave. It's my job to do what God has called me to do. And so we have to focus on our biblical role. And when we don't, and we're concerned about what everyone else is doing, now there's insecurity. Now, it's good to recognize people. I mean, that's nothing wrong. You know, and talk well of people. But we don't focus. We don't live worried about those things. Conversely, I told you it would be conversely about each one. Conversely, we become more secure in our relationships when we recognize our God-given role in that relationship and trust God and how others respond to it. If you're a husband, be the husband. If you're a wife, be the wife. If you're the parent, be the parent. If you're a child, be the child. Well, what if I do what the Bible says and my children don't like it? They won't like it, but do what God has told you to do as a parent. Well, what if I do what the Bible says as a wife, and what if it doesn't work out? That's on the Lord. Don't worry about things working out. You do what God has called you to do, what has commanded you to do, what has directed you to do, and you trust the Lord in the outcome of these things. We focus on our own biblical role. And when you're focused on whether how it's going to turn out and what they're going to do and what they're going to say about you, what if I come down, what if I'm actually doing these things as a parent, and what if my children don't like it? Or what if they say mean things when they grow up? Then that's what happens. You need to do what you're supposed to do. You can't live insecure. Well, you can live insecure, but that's not the way you should live. If you're going to live secure, do your biblical role. Trust the Lord in these things. So we become more secure in our relationships when we recognize our God-given role in that relationship and trust God and how others respond to it. In other words, we don't feel insecure. We don't feel threatened by them. We're just doing what God has told us to do. Let me show you a couple of biblical examples about this. Hold your place in 1 Samuel. Go back with me to Numbers. There's a lot of insecurity in our relationships because we're worried about what people are going to say about what we do. And it hinders you. It handcuffs you. You just need to do what's right. I'm not saying don't care about their feelings or don't care about how things come out. We can care about them and still do what we're supposed to do. Both is possible. We don't compromise, though. Caring is not compromising. Numbers chapter 12. So maybe if I use a biblical example, maybe it makes more sense. Did I say Numbers? Okay, Numbers chapter 12. I lost my thought there and couldn't remember what I told you. Numbers, focus. Yeah, I remember what my job is. Man, I'm not doing, I'm going to get rid of that line. Numbers chapter 12, verse 1. And Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, now this is what Miriam and Aaron says. And do you know their relationship to Moses? Brother and sister. Siblings. And Aaron is older than Moses. I'm not sure where Miriam is in age, but Aaron is the older brother to Moses. So Miriam and Aaron have an issue. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. In other words, he wasn't going to sit there and yell and scream and fight with them about this. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and to Miriam, come out ye three into the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known in him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. But, now watch this, my servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. In other words, yeah, I've talked to Aaron, maybe Miriam knows some things, but you don't know what Moses knows. I've talked to Moses face to face here. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, alas, my Lord! Leprosy was a sentence of death. I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed, whom when he cometh out of his mother's womb. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. And the Lord said unto Moses, if her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out from the camp 7 days, and after that, let her be received in again. And Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days, and the people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again, and after the people removed from Hazeroth and pitched in the wilderness of Paran. But the idea is this, Moses simply did what Moses was supposed to do, and God took care of him. That's how we go into our relationships. We focus on our biblical role. Your Numbers 11, flip over to number 16. Show you another situation with Moses. Number 16, verse 1. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses, a certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto him, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Very similar argument, isn't it? That's an argument that people like to make. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. And that's not true. They weren't lifting themselves up. God lifted them up. And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face, and he spake in accordance to all the company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him. Even him who he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him. Now skip forward all the way down to verse 28. You can read the rest on your own. Let's get to the meat of it for the sake of time. Verse 28. And Moses said, hereby ye shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up with all that are pertaining to them, and they go down quick into the pit. Then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertain unto Korah, and all their goods. Gone. Now, what my point is, you do what you're supposed to do. Let God take care of you as he sees fit. Give you another thought. Even if the other one in a relationship, the friend or the spouse or the child or the parent, whatever, it could be multiple relationships. Even if the other one in the relationship doesn't recognize or respond properly to our role, to the role you are, you're trying to do your role, they're not responding well to it. It is still our responsibility to biblically perform our role. If you're the husband, you need to be the right husband regardless of what your wife does. If you're the wife, you need to be the right wife regardless of what the husband does. You need to perform your role. If our spouse or our parent or our child or whatever, if our friend won't perform his or her biblical role, we still must perform ours as the spouse or the parent or the child or the friend or whatever it is. We are to help them be better. That is true. But if they resist, we still must do what God has called us to do, perform our role. So we're talking about trying to get rid of insecurity. So I look at my relationship as a team effort. So I'm trying to bring in security in this relationship. I'm not making it, I'm going to succeed whether you do or not, who cares? Okay, that creates insecurity. I'm going to do what God has called me to do. And I'm not going to sit there and worry and fret about what they're doing or not doing or how they respond, what they think, how they talk. I'm going to do what God has called me to do. My security is not in their response. My security is in the truth of God's Word. That's where I find my security. I'm secure as a husband, not because my wife follows. I'm secure as a husband because I'm doing what God has called me to do. I'm secure as a parent, not because all my children are like, oh, we love you, Daddy. That's not why I'm secure as a parent. I'm secure as a parent because I'm doing what God has called me to do. I'm secure as a friend, not because my friend thinks I'm the greatest friend in the world, but because I'm doing what God has called me to do. That brings security. We focus on our own biblical role. Here's the third one, quickly. Back to 1 Samuel 18. You cannot chase the other person's appreciation. You need to do what's right. They may or may not appreciate it. Okay? And I'm not saying be cold and flippant about it. But I'm saying we start with what's right to do. And then we're concerned about how they feel and how they respond. And maybe I can say it a little differently. Maybe I can put a little more sugar on it. But I need to make sure I do what's right. 1 Samuel 18, verse 10. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul. And he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand as at other times. And there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. And Saul was afraid of David, because the Lord was with him, David, and was departed from Saul. That brings us to our third thought about this. Number three is this. Examine your relationship with God. Saul's problem, his insecurity about David, stemmed ultimately from his wrong relationship with God. Now watch, that wrong relationship with God did not begin with David. Saul's problem originated with his insecurity, things between him and the Lord is not right. It didn't start when David killed Goliath. It had started before that. That problem was already there. When David came into the scene, his problem became more evident because Saul's insecurity now is blossoming. But the reason is because it was not right between him and the Lord, which is kind of what we hit in a moment ago about focusing our biblical role. The inward eventually comes to the surface. So if our relationship with the Lord is not right, eventually it's going to produce insecurity in all these other relationships. Go back with me to 1 Samuel 15, verse 22. Now we're going three chapters back to show you that this problem was before David. 1 Samuel 15, verse 22. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken the fat of rams. For rebellion, and Samuel's saying this to Saul, for rebellion is the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is iniquity and idolatry, because thou, Saul, hast rejected the word of the Lord. He has also rejected thee from being king. This is really the source of this insecurity. And Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. He wasn't doing his biblical role. Now, in his relationship with the Lord is all catawampus. That's a little fancy words there. Now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. Now that's already playing in Saul's mind when David shows up and they say, David, he's our man. If he can do it, nobody can. And Saul's like, he's going to be the king. Because it's already been playing in his mind. Because things aren't right between him and the Lord. Now, what I'm trying to say is this. When you struggle with people in your relationship, you might want to start with your relationship with God. The struggle may be between you and them, but the reason for the struggle is not there. The reason for the struggle often is here. Because when this is right, this starts straightening out. I'm not saying that it fixes the relationship. It fixes you in the relationship. If I have this, let's say it's a friend-to-friend relationship. When I'm fussing with a friend over silly, stupid stuff, I got to say, why am I so irritated? Maybe there's something wrong between me and the Lord. Because if things are right between me and the Lord, there should be a certain peace, a certain agreeable spirit that I will have. I shouldn't be fussing about everything. So this issue in chapter 18 really begins way back in chapter 15. So let me give you a couple of thoughts about this. Insecurity will arise in our relationships when the Holy Spirit is convicting us of sin and we are trying to insulate ourselves from God's judgment. So when the Lord's working in your life and you're ignoring the Lord and pushing the Lord away, all of a sudden now, everything else comes in your life you're fussing with because you already have this disagreeable spirit. And a lot of times you're thinking, well, you know, maybe this is happening because of that sin, or maybe this happened because I'm not reading my Bible, this happened because I'm not praying, or I'm not in church, or I'm not doing this. And all of these things now play on you, and there's now insecurity this way. This security brings this security. When this is not secure, now we have insecurity this way as well. I'll give you another conversely here. Conversely, we become more secure in our relationships when our own lives are surrendered to God and we're living in obedience to Him. Now, it's not an immediate thing. It's not like switching on a light. But that's the process. That's how that begins moving in the right direction. So I'll just say it. I've said it several times under this point, and I'll just give it to you as a point. Insecurity in our physical relationships with others may be the result of insecurity in our spiritual relationship with God. And that's really where Saul's problem started. Saul's problem didn't start with David. Saul's problem started with Saul and God. And David just magnified it, blew it up. And now everything that's wrong here is pouring out against David. Now, let me say that I got a couple of conclusions. Let me just think about it with me. He's trying to kill David. You know why he's trying to kill David? Because he's mad at God. He's not right with God. He's frustrated with God. And he's taking it out on David. Is it David's fault? But isn't that how sometimes we treat people? All these other things are aggravating us. And we take it out on other people because we won't make things right that need to be made right in our life. So we're frustrated with God. Life's not treating me right. I don't like what's going on. And I'm so frustrated with the Lord, now I'm taking it out on other people. And I create all this insecurity in my relationships because I won't deal right in this way. And that's what you see what's happening with Saul and David. If there's insecurity in our relationships, then it is our problem because it is our relationship. Now, that insecurity can look like other things. It can look like jealousy. You see it here. It can look like anger. You see it here. It can look like division. You see it here. But all of it is an insecurity in that relationship. It has different faces, different makeups, different masks, but it's all the root cause of this insecurity in that relationship. Now, again, you can say, well, Pastor White, I'm just telling you, I'm not insecure. But you're in the relationship with someone who is. And the truth is, you probably have more insecurity than you think. And so hopefully these helps us understanding some things about people and dealing with that insecurity. Now, let me give you a couple of closing statements. Telling someone their insecurity is their problem
tends, now watch this, tends to only make them more insecure. That's not the way to solve insecurity. You know what? You just need to get over it. They're not going to get over it, and you've made it worse. Okay, that's not the way you deal with problems. So what do we need to do? Let us seek to help those in our relationships to become secure both in our love and in God's. Which means this. Our desire should be to have a home that is secure in its relationships with each other and with God. Now, I'm sure this doesn't describe anyone's home here. But there are homes where at any given moment, any given day, everyone in that home they're thinking this could be the last day. Dad may not come home. Mom may not come. I don't mean they die. I mean they're just going to walk out. You know, who knows what's going to happen? Everything's up in the air. There's no security from day to day. You see that sometimes in the bus route. Kids have such insecure lives. People coming in and out of their... I think we go to this one place, and I was saying to someone, you know, it is amazing how many times you visit that place, you might always see the same mom, but you see somehow you always see a different guy there every time. That creates insecurity. Now, we have to understand, those kids are going to grow up, and that insecurity is rooted in them. And the only way you're going to deal with that type of insecurity is getting things with the Lord, getting secure with Him, and then you start working on horizontal. And so this is kind of these kind of things are the things that they bring great hurt to our relationships. And we need to sometimes think about the reasons in dealing with them.